and discussing the word of the Lord, I read to you a prophecy from the book of Amos, in chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And it goes on to say that people will be wandering to and fro, running to and fro, north to south, seeking, not seeming to find the word of the Lord. As God does that, he allows there to be a sense of famine. And famine means hunger. It's not just about appetites. When Jesus spoke, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. And truly, they do bear witness of me. They speak of me. But you won't come to me that you might have life. You see, we go to him for his word. Now, there is the word, and of course, we can't live without that word of God. But it's the spirit of life. Jesus said in John, the words that I give, they are spirit and they are life. Speaks there about people running to and fro, wandering, seeking the words. And it says there, the words of the Lord, not just the word, but the words, hearing the words of the Lord. And that's not just sermons. There are lots of sermons, lots of places you can go to. These days, there is an abundance of information, of words and comments and articles and on the internet, anywhere you like. Forums of the word, of spiritual things. But this is about hearing from the Lord himself, the words of the Lord. So why would there be a hunger, a famine, a felt need? Well, because there are too many voices today. And people have developed an appetite for the volume of knowledge that's about. And look, knowledge is a great thing. Knowledge is a great thing. But what God wants people to have is a hunger for the wisdom. You can have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom is how to apply by faith the living word of God in your life. And that becomes a hunger and thirst for being in alignment with God. It's called a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are they that have that, because they will be filled. It's not just in your head, it is deep in your heart. I was reading a book during the week called Eat Yourself Sick. And it's a pretty gloomy book when you read it, but it has got some very good news. But it speaks about the virtual famine of good food in the world today, and not just in places where food cannot be grown, but in the Western world. It's referred to very colloquially as the junk food famine, but it's not just junk food, it's food that has got high energy but low nutrient value. And And you think, but if there's plenty of food, how come that's a famine? What they're trying to get at is there's plenty of food, but people need the right food. And commercially and just culturally, we've been given so much food that it's causing chronic disease like never before. And the numbers are staggering. Over 50 million people a year dying because of chronic disease. Nearly $50 trillion a year having to be spent on treating chronic disease. Health systems trying to stop bankruptcy from happening because of simply not enough nutrient food. Now, high energy food is good. Makes people look strong. They can get big, but it allows certain things to happen to the body because of the lack of nutrients. It's just a staggering fact of life that there is what you might call a virtual famine today in our Western world. People getting sicker, younger, things like that. But the book goes on to mention that there's a tipping point. It says there's a critical point in any situation or process or system beyond which a significant and often unstoppable effect or change takes place. It says a new wind blows, seemingly everywhere at the same time. I've mentioned that in very recent times, there's become a fad, and then a trend, and now it's becoming a movement for people searching out good food, looking at labels like never before, and going for the right stuff. And they want, just like that scripture says, there's a famine for the getting of good food. Where is it? Going to and fro. And, I mean, it hasn't been organised by anybody. It's just, it gets around. It's like a tipping point happens in the community and people say, are they here by word of mouth? I'm getting more nourished now. And I don't know, something clicks and people take it on board. Well, now that's just a very human thing. That's just human nature. There are tipping points happening all the time in our society where a thing gets to a certain point and all of a sudden it's like, have you ever seen these birds flying in the air? They just go like that and all at once, at the same time, they all just change direction. We read in John chapter 8, John 3, verse 8, where it says the Spirit blows where it wills. We don't know where it comes from. The change of the wind. Things happen and change. I believe this scripture here, the days are coming that there'll be a famine on the land of hearing of the word of the Lord. A hunger, not just an appetite, for interesting spiritual things, interesting opinions, not just sermons, but hearing the voice of the Lord. That is deep in every person's heart, to hear the right voice. You and I have been hearing voices all of our lives. From little kids, we heard a voice. And what we heard has had an effect on us. So spiritually today, there's a hunger for reality, to hear a clear voice. And people are saying this today. Things like, I mean, I hear people coming in and talking, people that I don't know too well, having a little chat over the counter, saying things like, tell me, what's going on? I don't have the time to tell them everything that's going on, because I sometimes have the same question, what is going on? And so you can say, well, what's the news? And they say, I did. And now I'm more confused than ever. There is so much, and it can be so confusing, that there comes deep within the soul, the psyche of people, to say, I want some reality. I want to know what's real. When that becomes a hunger, people start to search more diligently. I believe that's happening in the spirit as well. I believe people, because of the times in which we live, because of the difficulty in being able to find the answers to managing everyday life, people are saying, I want to know how to process truth. I want to know what is real in my life. I want to know how real I am. How real is the world? It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. I just want to break that down a bit. There are so many kinds of voices. The word kinds means different genus. That's what the word is, a genus. It's a different kind of voice. There are voices that speak politically, that speak relationally, financially. There are all kinds of voices, governmental. There are voices that are speaking, trying to inform people of their own belief systems. And there are so many belief systems. There are different kinds of voices, different genuses of voices, if you like. But each different category of a voice, like an authoritative or an influential voice, each different type of an influential voice has got a certain purpose to it, a certain reason for shouting so loud or for trying to be so insistent. If you listen to the radio, you'll hear certain radio stations, this is the way things should be in this country. You read another newspaper, no, it's got to be this. But that's a voice that has influence, it has a meaning, it speaks with a real sense of meaning. So there are many kinds of voices. And the word voice itself is where we get the word telephone from. It's the word phone, it means tone. Not just a category of a voice, it is the kind of tone in the voice. Is it caring, compassionate, angry, deceitful? What is the tone? So there are many kinds and many tones in the world, and they all have significance. Now, the reason I'm saying this is that if there's going to be a famine for the word of God, people are going to get hungry to hear what's real, then somehow there's going to have to be some discernment, or at least an acknowledgement, that there are so many things coming into any person's head with so much influence, and so much intention, and so much purpose to try and get you to do what that voice says. But we need to be able to say, what voice am I hearing? And that doesn't mean, well, I'm not going to watch that channel on telly. I'm not going to. I don't mind. I will listen to quite a few things because I'd like to be able to compare. But the way that I can work out what voice I'm hearing is this. What am I hearing from my own head? What's the voice that I'm speaking to myself? And that's not just a head thing. What is going on in my heart that gives me my self-talk? We've all got self-talk. Why did that have to happen? Oh, I can't stand that. And can't people be a little bit more kind? Why don't people treat me more fairly? These are the voices that a person will hear. The voice that's come in and grabbed your heart that makes you end up with a self-taught voice is something that will end up becoming the voice that you speak out. There are some people that have got had what I call complaining training. It might sound negative, but and I can pick them. I deal with certain in a business situation, which is not all business. It's quite relational too. But there's a complaining training in some people that everything that's said is a complaint. And that complaint, I found, is coming from some kind of an experience of complaint that has come upon them as they grew up in some way. It's like they've always been complaining. And it seems like the influence of somebody complaining is to look at you and say, at the end of their complaint, I say, don't you think? And you're really kind of obliged to say, well, yeah, that's true, yeah, I suppose he shouldn't be I won't say the Prime Minister, but he shouldn't be the, he shouldn't be the Minister. No, got to avoid that. Because it is intended to get somebody on side to join the complaining and be part of the complaining training. Because somehow it seems that if a person who's been affected by being complained about ends up resolving that by complaining about everybody else, you seem to pass it off to someone else, that complaining then is almost like, well, I've actually ended up the winner in that situation because I've been able to blame this or blame that, have a complaint. Now, that's a voice that's been heard, and it's a voice that becomes self-talk, and it's a voice that gets spoken. I believe God wants us to hear the voice of himself, which doesn't complain, which loves and accepts. It discerns. It knows how to pick the difference between what is right and what is wrong. But it has significance. What comes into our heart and mind by way of voices that we've heard that have given us a disposition of our self-talk? I am a victim. This is unfair. This should not have happened to me. I want this. Get out of the way. They're learnt very easily. But these have an intention, they have an effect on the hearer, and then they have an effect on the speaker. So, what it says in the Word, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Because every kind of voice that we've allowed to become a self-talk voice, which is negative, has affected the thoughts and intents of our heart. We are being transformed. There does not have to be a famine of the words of the Lord if we know where to go to get it. And when we have communion today, that is where we hear the words of the Lord to us personally. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The words that are spoken, let's just get right back to ordinary everyday life. The words that you and I speak, some of them are spoken out of a sense of wanting to create something, to say something that's come from your heart that you feel is worth hearing and you want to say it. They can be terrific words, an encouraging word, or a new idea, or a suggestion. Hey, let's go and do this together. Let's go for a walk together. Things like that. These are words that are suggestive. They're good. But a lot of the words that we hear are in reaction to things that happen. And that's how you can work out what's the voice that you're hearing because of what happens. And here's Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are troubled on every side. That goes for all of us. But what does he say about it? But we're not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. It's not wrong to be perplexed. It's not wrong to say, what's going on? I don't understand this. But that voice, if that voice then becomes, I have no hope, this is going to overwhelm me, that's the wrong voice. Paul said, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair because I know that God is at work for good in my life to bring everything around to his purpose and meaning. That's the voice of the Lord. Christianity is not difficult to process if we intelligently look at what is happening in our hearts because of what is happening around us. Because it will all come out in the form of something that we say to ourselves and then something that comes out of our mouths. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be careful, be diligent for the things of the heart because they are the issues of life. Persecuted but not forsaken. Tossed about, but not destroyed. So he's talking about the necessary suffering of life in which he, Paul, would be able to respond to a situation and either complain about it, get in despair about it, get totally distressed about it, or give thanks in the middle of it and say, thank you, Lord. You're at work for good. Your goodwill is working with your intention, your love and your purpose in my life. That is how we stop the famine of hearing the word of the Lord, is by not eating the junk food. It is by discerning what the junk food is. It might give you a high energy of relief to blast out on something and to criticize it and to do that. But that's that high energy actually can cause a chronic disease, which is a sickness of the soul, sickness of the heart. The heart is what processes the intention of your life. And the heart can be sick, the heart can be foolish, and the heart can be hardened. So it says, don't let your heart be hardened. So we're going to have communion today. And I'm going to read you the scripture, the communion scripture, because this is a communion scripture. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. That's communion. And he with me. Now, you may be troubled on every side. You may be perplexed. You may be tossed about. We can't deny that these things are real, as we said last week. The feelings of our heart are real. But that's where only the words of the Lord can bring the consolation, can bring the comfort, can bring the strengthening of faith. Because the inner person gets strengthened in the inner man by faith. Strengthened with faith in the inner person. So we're going to have communion. And very simply, without being totally introspective, we're just going to say, well, what sort of voice have I been hearing the last couple of days about me, about what's been happening? And don't feel ashamed about it. We're human beings. I feel perplexed quite often. I can get anxious about things, but I've got to be able to take it to the right place, because I don't want my self-talk to get convinced and persuaded that I'm being left out, or this is wrong, and God, what did you do this for? I've got to be able to say, God, I don't understand the reason for this, but you can make it clear. You have a purpose that I don't understand. But I want to hear your sweet words of consolation and comfort and direction and wisdom and guidance. I could read a lot of books about it, but I want to come to you and hear it. That's where the well is. And that's what communion is for. So that we can open the door of our heart when he knocks, hear his voice, and let him come in, and he will speak. I'm not saying he's going to give you a word out of the scripture, but there will be a tone. The phoné, the voice, will have a certain tone. It will be in a certain category for what's happening in your life. A certain kind of voice will come from the Lord. I've gone in to speak to the Lord looking for comfort. You know what I've been given? And I've asked the Lord for comfort. I've been told, stand up. Straighten your back. Don't get afraid. I'm with you. Now move forward. I mean, oh, I thought, Lord, you'd feel sorry for me. Yeah, that's right, but I have compassion on this, but I know I wouldn't tempt you beyond what you're able to manage. Now, here's the faith. I'm at work in this situation. Go through it. Okay. And you know what happens? You're a different person. You're a different person. So be open. Be ready for God. He's not there to condemn. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord. We know you're standing at the door and knocking. You want to have communion with us. You want us to hear your voice. You want us to distinguish between your wonderful, life-giving voice and the voices that we hear and that we speak out of force of habit, which are unnecessary. And in the midst of normal suffering, those words, Lord, lead us to unnecessary suffering. They need not be said, and they need not be heard. But your voice will come in the strangest ways. We will hear it by your Spirit. And we now come to you in communion to know your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.